And we are live for a new episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host, and I'm joined by Seth Winchong. Seth, who I assume is a happy Tesla shareholders this week.
Like all of us, I guess.
Yeah, me too. I'm quite happy with my stock performance this week, and that's what we're going to start the week with, this week's episode. Because a lot of focus is on Tesla stock right now. It's been on a great rally this week. And we're really a great rally since the past maybe 5 or 6 months, but more so this week where it reached a new all-time high, past $400 per share for the first time now, past a valuation of $70 billion. And I mean, the market has been on a rally itself. I think it's like 8 days in a row that it's been up. So it's not just Tesla. However, of course, Tesla is greatly... overperforming the rest of the market, so there's something going on there. But there wasn't any type of particular reason you could point it on. I mean, the biggest deal was up was like what, seven percent. And at first we thought maybe that had something to do with the EV tax credit talk that was going on, because it looked like at least there was a chance. But and same thing happened last year. Last year there were talk of maybe reforming the EV tax credit, didn't happen, and Tesla jumped on the possibility of it.
Yeah, and we were all, because you know, we obviously cover this news and have been for a while. We were all kind of surprised, like why would this year be the year that they're going to pat, like Trump's still in president as at the moment, like yeah. Still.
But the hope is always that, because of course with Trump in the office and Republican controlling the Senate and everything, there's no hope to pass a specific bill to reform the tax credit and to really it's an expansion of it. If you want to think about it, it's not just like a, because I kept using the word reform because. It's not necessarily positive, a reform towards the EV tax credit, so the Republicans can get that mad at it. So if they pass a bill that reforms the EV tax credit, if you pass a bill that expands the EV tax credit, then it's another deal. It's not good for them. But anyway, the hope is that it's part of a bigger bill, I guess, with a tax reform bill, a tax bill, the budget. So that was it, but apparently Trump intervened. Trump himself, like the White House, said if that bill gets to us with the tax credit reform in it, we're not going to sign it. So that shut that down pretty quick. But the Tesla stock didn't take a beating from that, though. Like it kept going up. And some other speculation was that... there was a note, some analyst notes, of course, but there are always some
Credit
of those.
Suisse,
and but the one from Credit Suisse was like, yeah, Tesla is very good at what they do and everything. They are a great lead in battery technology and everything like that. But they still ranked it underperform, and they thought the stock should go down. And everything, they don't like the valuation and everything like that. So, I mean, so if you are buying based on that note, it's just you're saying, all right, this banker, an analyst, a financial analyst, knows about battery stuff more than you do, but on the financial side he knows nothing about what he's doing, and he's a financial analyst, and his model of Tesla stock and Tesla's business makes no sense. That's what you're saying if you're buying on that. So I don't really get that either. But a few other news this week that might have had an impact, I mean to a degree, you could not really match it with the big bounce that happened, but let's talk about the acceleration boost. Because you could call it also a revenue acceleration boost for Tesla. What it does, I mean, it leaked earlier this week because a bunch of readers, thanks by the way, sending that to us, sent us that they saw the fine prints on their upgrade page in the Tesla account, which not everybody can see. If you already bought the autopilot and the full self-driving package, you cannot see that page because you couldn't buy any other upgrade. But if you hadn't, you could see that page and the fine prints of it. It was written that Tesla was going to sell an acceleration boost upgrade with the latest software update that came. So we didn't have more details than that, but based on that and the fact that it's on the latest software update, we knew that it was very imminent. And sure enough, the next day, Tesla sends out an email only to Model 3 dual motors owner, long-range dual motors owner, offering them to upgrade their car with this acceleration boost for $2,000, which result in an acceleration in the 0 to 60 times being officially lowered to 3.9 seconds. So there's no more official details than that. It's a software unlock, a paid software unlock of the power in the car.
Right.
Now, in the past, I mean, we remember just, what was it, like a few months ago, the 5% thing, 5% power increase that virtually all Tesla, recent Tesla got, and the Model 3 included. Yep. For that, Tesla was clear that they found some way to optimize the electric motors and get more power out of it. Like, there was this explanation out of it, and Tesla released that. And you could see that the cars were performing better. Now, for this upgrade, though, they don't say anything. It's just basically the official time. And people were already getting faster than 4.4 right. seconds times with the recent upgrade. So there is that to take into account. Now, down to 3.9 officially. And some people have been trying it already. They bought it, been trying it. And sure enough, it is faster. So there's something. However, how is it faster? Like, we don't know. Is it just really like Tesla was capping it? They knew they had more power and they were capping it and they released it and they figured out like that it was worth more money to release it. Like, we have to do it with a price tag? Or,
I mean, it's hard to tell. Hardware-wise, how is the all-wheel drive that much different than the performance?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? I mean, officially, Tesla says that the only hardware difference is supposedly a more powerful inverter, and they say that they do validate the rear motor for a higher output. So it's not a different motor, it's just during the validation process of it, this one performed a little, just a little bit better based on like the manufacturing quality of this particular unit was better and whatnot. Right. And they can burn it out a little bit better, and it was performing better. So these ones are used for the
performance. And what is the performance version, 0 to 60 time currently?
Officially, it's 3.2.
So you're not getting all the way to performance, but they're getting you a little
pretty close.
And it's still in the threes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it really goes to show, I think, that the dual motor and performance version are very similar, even though Tesla was charging a lot more for the performance version. And now they just decided that they basically dumbed down, like pulled back the power on the dual motor version to create more value out of the performance version. And now they think that it's worth more to offer the upgrade to dual motor owners than to keep that performance edge for the performance version, which, in other words, is kind of a money grab. But
I mean, if you're not forced to get it, so, and you bought a car that was supposed to be 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds, like,
yeah, and I see plenty of people buying it. I mean, I ask around for the people with dual motors, and a lot of people are buying it. A lot of people aren't buying it too, because so we don't, like, it would be hard. I would love to have the take rate on that upgrade, because I mean, it's $2,000 for point five half a second of faster 0 to 60.
I feel,
how often do you
use that? I mean, I also feel like a lot of people who are interested in that 0 to 60 extra boost would have got the performance version to begin with.
Exactly. So in my head, like, what I was expecting when they said I saw the acceleration boost for the first time, is that may be going to performance Model 3, because even if it's not half a second, I think Tesla, if they can get like a third of a second, like get it from like 3.2 to 2.9, okay, just that, even though it's less of a difference than the 4.4. It would sell more for $2,000 than at the dual motor level, I think, because dual motor owners were already made the decision that, the faster acceleration is not that big of a deal for me. They already made that clear to their purchase. Right. So
let's say 1 out of every 10, and there's how many 100,000 already out there?
I mean, we don't have also the mix right. of the different versions of the Model 3. I would have to assume it's a pretty popular one.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's hard to tell. I mean, the dual motor long range, like without performance, where I thought would be super popular would be in Canada, especially because we love our four-wheel drive here. Unfortunately, though, because of the price, it's not eligible to the big tax credit that we have here. So it's probably a little bit less popular. But still, I would assume there's probably 100,000 of them out there at this point already. So yeah, if what do you say? 1 in 10, 10%?
10% of 100,000. So
10,000, that's 20 million of... it's not that big of a boost for Tesla in terms of financially, but it's almost like it's pretty profit, really.
Right, just like
software. So if they were getting close at the end of the quarter financially, they can 20 million can swing.
20 million is actually what the SEC fined Elon for his tweet. So maybe that that's the Elon tweet payback.
Trying to recoup that. No. but it's interesting though because it's opening the door to more of these though.
Right,
more paid upgrades. Green, of course, friend of the site and now almost famous, let's say, Tesla hacker has been referring to these as DLCs for cars, which if you're not familiar, it's a video game reference for downloadable content for video games, which has been a big trend in recent years. Like almost like every big gaming franchise do it because you already have produced a very good game that's popular, and then you have a big fan base, so you just sell them just more content on top of it. That's not a finished game, that's not a complete game, but it's more money for them and a little bit more content for the gamers. But some companies have pushed them to extremes where the content is really not worth the money that they're pushing. So that's where the comparison of being drawn, and also the fact that it's downloadable, it's literally downloadable in a car that Tesla is selling, which is quite new. It's new, but it's not new at the same time because, I mean, Tesla has been doing it with Autopilot, but I feel like for Autopilot, Tesla has such a good reason for it because, like, the vision was clear with Autopilot. You have... We put the hardware in every car so that we can leverage the hardware for active safety features for free for everyone, and at the same time leverage the data collecting capacity of this hardware in every car, and then we finance that through selling convenience features to everyone else. So that was like, and no one was angry at that deal other than the slow rollout of those convenience features that were maybe not as promised. But this is different. But like you said, though, you take it or leave it. Like you can,
right?
You don't have
you bought a car with like these specs, and if everybody else who has the same car as you upgrades, then you still got the car you bought. But I do think, like, if we're going back to the stock price and, like, why now are we seeing the upgrades? The DLCs, as they're calling them, and it's funny that Tesla also does real video game DLCs.
that also part of the comparison.
But the car DLCs, maybe at selling at $2,000, maybe that's like, hey, I didn't put this revenue model in my plan. You know, maybe there's more of these kind of things coming out, and
some analysts are looking into that. I mean, we saw it just the week before that with the premium connectivity $10 charge that Tesla started hiding. So people are seeing that now. They're seeing the acceleration boost, and things are starting to look like a possibility for Tesla. But you just referenced the actual video games. I mean, that also is going to be a thing. Like
it's part of my life
because now Tesla. Yeah, I mean, I know you use it, but I mean, now it's free. Like, it's part of the you need the premium connectivity thing, but other than that, it's not every new game you can use it for free. You don't have to buy it like an app on your phone for a game on the App Store or something. So eventually, I think Tesla and Musk did reference that at one point because also there's a limit of memory on storage space on Tesla's computer. So you cannot have an infinite number of games there, and Tesla keeps adding to them. So he's been talking about downloadable packages of games. So you select what you want, and then you can download that. And I would have to assume that when they do release that, it would have to be paid packages, because you're going to also have to get revenue to the video game publishers. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right?
It's actually kind of surprising that what's come out so far has been free. I mean, there's...
I think they're just, they like the novelty of it. Like the developers probably, they're like, yeah, I just want my game in the Tesla car or something.
No, it's cool. And it's immediately useful if you have kids, like, and you're waiting for your wife to get out of the store. Like it's awesome. I mean, I've become so good at the car game that like I now have to, like I'm waiting for some new DLCs to.
you beat the games already. You beat the Tesla.
Yeah. And they have this Mars level at the end. And that's like the ultimate level, and it's
that's the buggy game.
So,
yeah. Well, speaking of the games, Elon tweeted last night that there's some more coming. He's talking about a Stardew Valley, which I'm not exactly sure what that is, but apparently it's a popular indie game. Lost Backgammon. I mean, I know what backgammon is, but I don't know what Lost Backgammon is. And a few other things, so very vague about that. And he says that this is going to be part of a Tesla holiday software update, so you expect that to come out in the next few days, at least in the early access program. And it will include an FSD sneak preview.
So what does that mean?
Yeah, that's really unclear, because... So when I read FSD sneak preview, I'm like, okay, it's going to be like another demonstration of it. Because we had one like 3 years ago when Tesla launched Autopilot 2.0. We had one earlier this year at the Autonomy Day, a new one on the Model 3. I mean, I'm sure they made great progress since, and a video preview would be interesting. But then he said that it's part of the holiday software update. So what does that mean? Like, if it's inside the car? So... Do you have any clues?
I have no idea.
Does it really mean maybe like an early version of it? Like it's like not full FSD, but it's like, oh, it gives you an idea what would be. Like, I feel like if it was feature complete, it was talking about, it would have keep using that term, but it didn't.
Right. And I think it also plays into the fact that Elon was targeting the end of the year for FSD, which... You know, clearly isn't going to happen.
For FSD, he said FSD feature complete in early access. That's what he was aiming
right.
for.
Right. So the fact that I don't think that's realistic, but he's giving us, this is our current state of affairs kind of look at it. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like. And, you know, maybe it allows you to do some things that you haven't been able to do up until now. Might be interesting.
Yeah, sneak preview is a weird way to say it, but we'll see. Next few days, it's going to be in the early access program. And nowadays, our early access program got so big that we pretty much always get all the information once it gets there. Moving on. All right, that was a surprising one. Not sure what to think of that one. Tesla partners with EVgo to deploy Tesla Connector under nationwide charging network. So, I mean, most people are familiar here, but just a quick recap of the situation. Tesla, most automakers use CCS and CHAdeMO, and CHAdeMO is kind of going away in North America. Most people are going with CCS as their plug connector. And except for Tesla, which still use its own proprietary connector, that's it, the only one who has that one. In Europe, Tesla moved to CCS already. It's really just in North America where they're using that. And the result is that Tesla owners have to rely on the supercharger network. Or if they go to third party, they need to use the CHAdeMO adapter if the charging station, the public charging station in question, does have a CHAdeMO connector. Now, for the first time, EVgo is actually using Tesla connectors directly on their charging station. So you have like a CHAdeMO, a CCS, and a Tesla connector directly on the charging station. And apparently it's a partnership that they have. They're working with Tesla directly on this. And they have already installed a 5-station in San Francisco, and they plan to do to expand it nationally in 2020, so next year.
It's kind of strange. Especially after it seems like Tesla hasn't been as friendly as you would expect with other charging networks that want to use Tesla connectors. The one that comes to mind is ChargePoint had a Tesla adapter on one of their chargers at CES about 2 years ago. And as soon as Tesla found out about it, they nixed it. But it, I mean, like you said in the take, like the more charging options, the better. It's always going to be a better thing. What might have been even better than this, though, would have been like a CCS adapter. Just, you know, Tesla could just have a CCS adapter sitting there at the thing on a chain. And also, by the way, selling these things.
But they're already, Evgo is already doing that with the Tesla Chademo adapter at some station, apparently. So that's interesting in itself. But yeah, it does. A lot of people just think that, like, if Tesla would just sell the CCS adapter, that would be better. And I mean, there's two different school of thoughts here. Of course, then you need to buy the adapter because Tesla is not giving that out for free. And based on the cost of the CHAdeMO adapter, it's not cheap. Well, that was what, 400, 450, something like that? I don't remember. I have one.
It's 450, but it was originally close to 1,000.
Yeah. I mean, the price that they released it in Europe, because they do have a CCS adapter in Europe, was much cheaper. It was $190. So that's a little bit better, but it's still expensive. So this, you don't have to have your own adapter. You show up at the station and there's already an adapter there. However, how many people are going to use this? That's the big question now. So I would assume it's really a small minority of Tesla owners that would actually use it, because the supercharger network in most occasions are going to be more practical to Tesla owners than the EVgo. Probably cheaper too, if I look at EVgo's rates. EVgo are not too bad though. I like EVgo. Like Electrify America are charging pretty high these days. EVgo also, some station, it's higher. In the case of the Tesla, for Tesla here, they say that it's going to charge at a flat per minute rate with no additional fees. So, of course, the permanent rate is sometimes of a problem, because you do get more electricity at first and then it tapers off. So normally I prefer the kilowatt hour rate, but some company prefer not to do that, of course, for that reason. Other company cannot do that too. I know that here in Quebec, well, here I'm still in France right now, when I'm in Quebec, you cannot sell, since electricity is nationalized, as a third party, you cannot sell electricity to another third party. So it has to be just selling the time that you plug in, basically, instead of selling the kilowatt hour. So and I know there's other markets in the US also like that, where you cannot do that. So it's not ideal. But I think in most times, the supercharger is going to be cheaper. So then what it adds up to is that for the few occasion, some people that have like regular routes that they do to visit family and whatever, and to go to a second house or something like that, second home. If they have an EVgo station on that route that's more practical to stop to than a supercharger, then that would be useful for them. But then is it better for those people to just buy an adapter and use any kind of CCS station that exists, including EVgo's? Or do they have to rely on the fact that EVgo will update that station with a Tesla connector? So
yeah, I kind of wish everybody would just come up with one standard. I mean, so if you look at the standard, I mean, if you look at the actual plugs, Tesla's is quite a bit more elegant. Like, it's way smaller, way easier to use. It's still, you know, but everybody's using CCS combo. So it's kind of like the VCR, the VHS VHS versus beta. Beta was a smaller tape, better quality. It lost out because it was proprietary. Also, Sony did the EV, or the sticks, I forget what they were called, but Sony was kind of like the leader in doing proprietary and then losing out on the standard. So I don't know what you do in this case, because on one hand, it would be really nice if all cars had Tesla adapters. But because the Tesla adapter standard, even though I think Tesla put those out for the patents are open.
Yeah, I think anyone can use
it. I just don't think it's going to happen. So,
no one has any advantage of using it unless you also have a deal with Tesla to use their supercharger network.
So. And
also that's just in the U.S. Right.
So it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Maybe Tesla's still trying to get that to happen. It looks like they've given up in Europe and in China. You know, they're not going to win China over. So maybe in the U.S. they're still trying to kill CCS. Because CCS here and CCS in Germany are a little bit different. Or in Europe. Mm-hmm. So it's a different standard.
Well, I don't think they are trying to kill it. I think there's a fee that comes with it too, right? Yeah, I have to pay a fee for using the CCS protocol. And a lot of people say that that's where Tesla never used the J1772 in the first place. Like, they didn't want to pay that big fee that comes with, like, it's a plug that costs a few dollars to make, but like a lot more money to just get the
Yeah, I mean, that's why protocol. Charging stations aren't like $50. They're like $500.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people to pay.
Who makes that money? Who's taking that money? I want to know.
The Illuminati.
that's them who killed the electric car in the first place, maybe. So we'll see what pans out of that day. I'm curious to like wait it out a little bit, see what's the deployment next year with Evigo, and then reach out to Evigo, see if they want to share some stats on the usage of their station with Tesla owners. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Another news that Elon tweeted this week that was interesting was the MCU upgrade. So for early Tesla owners, a lot of them have been asking for that for a while. And Tesla did promise it last year. It said, it's going to be able, it's going to come. So for those who are not aware, back when Tesla upgraded the MCU, which is the media infotainment computer inside the car, so not the autopilot computer, the media computer, when they did update that last year, it made it a lot faster, like twice as fast, really, as the original computer for like internet browsing. And now there's also some features that only work if you have the newer MCU, not the older MCU, which makes sense. I mean, a computer inside a car, like any other computer, like the technology evolves so fast that at one point it's not as efficient to run some more heavy programs, your features. But Elon said you're going to be able to upgrade it. We just swap the computer. Now he's starting to put to throw some cold water on that project, saying that it's a little bit more complicated than originally implied, that there's other hardware that have to be changed to. He said it's going to cost about $2,000. But he says that it could still be coming. So he said that hopefully it's going to come in a few months. So it's not impossible just yet, but he said the last thing last year, so never know. He also said that they're still planning to release a software update only for the first MCU that would improve performance a little bit. So some more efficient codes. So let's see. Maybe people wait for that, see if that's enough for them. Is that making it better enough that they don't want to go for it? But a lot of people are mad about that, and I think they're mad because Elon said that he would do it in the first place and now it's not really happening. I don't think they are mad because Tesla is not offering the MCU upgrade, because it's not normal for, it's like an automaker to just offer like whole computer upgrades inside cars. It's not like a regular thing to do. Most people, if you want the latest feature, latest technology inside a car, you have to buy the newer version of the car. That's it. So I don't think that's that big of a deal here. But I like that's a possibility if you really want. Like my Model S, I have a 2012 Model S, and I would find it really hard to part ways with that car. So if I could get like maybe a little bit better computer in it, if I ever have like $2,000 lying around, maybe. But right now, I don't think that it's really, really worth it at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe if they can promise you like new other features that would be like just for the new, that would be kind of the acceleration boost. Like, you're like, all right, I get those new features if I buy that new MCU for $2,000, that might be worth it.
Yeah, I'm on MCU1, I think, for the Model X, and it's not fun watching all the updates happen that you can't get access to.
Mm-hmm. So I ran a poll on that. 10,000 people participated in that poll. Would you buy a new MCU upgrade for $2,000? 50% of people said no. 30% said yes. And 20% said not sure yet. So, I mean, still a lot of demand for it. 30% of people, a lot of demand for it. All right. Speaking of features not available to everyone, Tesla is nerfing autopilot on the Model S and the X in Europe. Already the case for the Model 3, since when Europe changed the regulation for assisted driving compliance, the Model 3 was getting introduced in the market, so Tesla had to quickly make it comply with them, and that's been a big bummer for Model 3 owners out there. And Model S and X, they are now updating the vehicles to comply with it because they were before. So I don't know exactly how that works, but they ended up doing it. And I have to say, I'm looking at the list of the limitation that comes with that, and it's not pretty. I mean, auto lane change restricted to use on divided roads or two or more lanes. I mean, that's not too like. Normally that you do that, like I never used it not on those situations, so I'm not sure what that's about. But things like the biggest one, we can jump to it right away, is that you'll receive all the steering wheel, which they said all the steering wheel, but it's actually put pressure on the steering wheel if they don't detect their hands on it every 15 seconds. So again, because of Tesla, it's not actually all the steering. The sensor only detect if you are putting pressure on the steering wheel. That means that you have to put pressure on the steering wheel in 15 seconds. So unless I'm an advocate for always keeping your hands on the autopilot, that's one thing for sure. However, the way I keep my hands on autopilot when I'm on autopilot, it's just to be ready to grab it at all time, to do an action. I'm really grabbing normally with one hand, though I drive on the highway with one hand anyway, so it's not like a safety issue with autopilot here. And I try to like hang my hand on it so that I push just enough pressure, not too much to kick auto steer off, but just enough to keep every now and again detecting enough pressure so it doesn't give me an alert. But with the regular autopilot in North America, that's like 45 seconds, 1 minute. So you have a much higher chance within that 45 seconds to a minute to get that pressure on the steering wheel and not get the alert and then having to go through it again. Every 15 seconds, another thing though. So it's you really have to basically put your two hands on it and like put the pressure to always like get a little bit of something on it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. The same thing when I'm driving on autopilot. Mm-hmm. I kind of just rest my hand on the wheel and I don't put pressure on it left or right. And then every so often I have to like kind of, you know, wiggle the car a little bit.
Yeah.
Somehow though, when my wife drives, she never gets the warning. So I guess she's just constantly pushing against it somehow.
Yeah. Maybe she put a little bit more pressure. Another big one, it limits how far the steering wheel can turn while using auto steer. That's been, so the wiggle room that you have when auto steer is like what it can and cannot do is being reduced. So it reduces the ability to maneuver within lane with curves. So what it says is basically if you're getting into a section that has a big curve, it might like start it, but then it cannot turn the wheel enough for you that it will just drop the auto steer, which is kind of, I mean, dangerous. Oh, of course, you're supposed to have your hands on it and everything, so that it's not that big of a deal. But it's, I mean, I don't want to say useless, but it's getting pretty close to that. Like, it's if you paid already for the autopilot, and that's and you, like you were enjoying it and everything, and then you get that update, like how would you feel?
Yeah.
And I mean, Tesla does say in the email that they are trying to work. We're disappointed with the requirements regulators have chosen to impose, limiting the effectiveness of these features. And we continue to advocate that full functionality be restored. So they say that he's still working toward making it fully legal. But
By the way, was this email cut and paste or was it transcribed?
It was transcribed from German. Okay. There's a few word missing.
Need to go through it.
Yeah.
I just noticed.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, it's the European Tesla owners that are getting this. Yeah, so bad news for them. But hopefully Tesla can work with the regulators. And Elon Musk has been mentioning that in the past few months, that they're trying to like get him to like enable like summon and everything. But at this point, I will forget about summon and just work with them on auto-steer and getting that. I think that's way more important for now, especially for all the people that paid for autopilot, which I think it's a lot more people than people would pay for the FSD package. All right, that's another interesting one. I was reading the Tesla Elon Musk Master Plan Part 2 for Tesla this week because I wanted to see like where we were at really on the master plan. And what I did realize is that that plan came out in 2016, so that was still 3 years ago. So Tesla had some time to work here. And to their credit, they stuck pretty close to it. Mostly everything Elon said in that plan has happened already in the last 3 years, so we might be due for Master Plan Part 3 really here. But of course, it has been what has been accomplished has been accomplished at different scale, really. Like it could be bigger, so like ramp up in production and whatnot. But the one thing that Tesla clearly didn't accomplish from the plan here, which I thought was interesting, is that one car that hasn't been unveiled. So as part of the second plan, there was three cars that Tesla was talking about, which was the Model Y, really. At that point, they were referencing as a new compact SUV. Tesla unveiled the Model Y. A new kind of pickup truck. So that was the Cybertruck unveiled last month. But there were also two other type of vehicles that they talked about, which was an EV duty vehicle and a high passenger density vehicle. So the EV duty, they also ended up unveiling it. So that's actually 3-on-3. We're talking about the Tesla Semi, of course. But the high passenger density urban transporter, we haven't seen that from Tesla just yet. But a few interesting things on that. Do you remember Elon talking at one point about making a Model X-based bus, minibus?
Yeah, and that was in relation to the Boring Company, wasn't it? Or is that something else?
That was before, actually, before any Boring Company thing. He was looking at that, looking at using the frame of the Model X and make it like a minibus type of a vehicle. That, of course, never came to fruition. But that was around that time, and in that... in the master plan, he said that it was an early stage of development already, that high passenger density urban transport. But now, if we go to the Boring Company, why I think that it's still in the plans, even though we're 3 years later, I haven't heard much of it, is that the Boring Company has been working on something like that too. And they made it clear that for their vehicles, they are working in partnership with Tesla. They are using Tesla's technology and everything. We'd have the image that was released 2 years ago from the Boring Company. That's this type of all glass vehicle. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like that exactly. Like that doesn't look street legal at all. But the concept is still there. It's like you can fit like 12 passenger in that pretty easy. And what makes me think that we might see something about that relatively soon is that it's Las Vegas. It's the Las Vegas Convention Center. So that project is moving forward from the Boring Company. They are deploying a loop at the convention center, and they want that loop to be ready for CES 2021. So that's basically a year from now. So pretty close. And earlier this year, when I talked to Steve Davis, the president of the company of Boring Company, about the project, I asked him, that was right after they unveiled the sort of Model X for the tunnel. Like they said, oh, we're going to just use Model X in it. And a lot of people were very skeptical about that.
Including me.
About what that would look like. So I asked him, so this is clearly looks like it's going to be the first complete commercial project for the Boring Company. It's paid for. The Las Vegas Convention Center are paying the Boring Company $50 million to just build that thing, and then they own it. So they're deploying that. So I'm saying, are you just building the tunnels and then putting Model X in them, or what's the plan? And he said that's one of the consideration. Now they are focused on the tunnel, but for the actual vehicles that are going to go inside the tunnels, that's a consideration. And he said the original plan to have a pedestrian type shuttle inside the electric shuttle inside the loop is also still a consideration. So right now is whether they're going to actually use the Model X for those, and Tesla doesn't have to build any kind of high passenger density vehicle, or they're actually going to build that for the Boring Company if they get like an initial order of something. Because then it can be worth it. Like if you have to build I don't know, like what would the quantity be for that particular project? Because it cannot be that big, right? Going to be 100 vehicles in there for the Las Vegas.
I mean, so I'm only in Vegas for CES, and that the shuttle that's there is jam-packed, and it's a traditional train kind of looking thing. So I imagine there would be like thousands of the thing that pictured needed to carry people around. But during the rest of the year, I think Vegas is a little bit more lax.
Let's say 100 at least.
I don't know. Why not make like a more train-like vehicle? Why does it have to look like a car? I don't get it.
Because I think they want also it to work on the street. They want something to pull out on the street and be like a street shuttle at the same time to go like go to the hand point, the hand destination.
All right. Then I guess they need wheels. Can't have. Yeah.
Well, this thing looks like it has wheels, right? Yeah, definitely looks like it has wheels. I don't know. I'm also a little bit skeptical, but I think, especially considering the fact that Tesla, that's the second part of the master plan. If you look at the first part of the master plan too, they stuck pretty close to it both times. So I feel like it would be nice if they really like stick to it to the end point and they really do that. Of course, the master plan, there were other parts too, like the autonomy part and the shared part, but that's all dependent on Tesla delivering on FSD and apparently end of next year. We'll see.
It'll be interesting.
All right. Next. Well, we already talked a little bit about the tax credit here, but it was partly extended. We said the reform didn't happen, but there were some extensions for charging stations, electric motorcycles, and of course the always needed tax credit for the fuel cells vehicles.
Oh yeah, very important.
Yeah. So 30% up to $1,000 on the cost associated with the installation on an EV charging station. 10% credit up to $2,500 for 2- and 3-wheel electric vehicles such as motorcycles. And a $4,000 credit for the purchase of a new fuel cell vehicle. Which they really like, and their logic behind that, like where they keep pushing the fuel cells, like no one is buying those credits, so like it's cheap to run the program. Right. No one is buying the credit because no one wants those fuel cell vehicles. I mean, it's a federal program, but outside of California, how many fuel cells charging stations are there? And
I don't know. I think we're supposed to get the first East Coast ones this year, and I don't think it's happened yet.
Have you put your deposit on the Murray yet?
Although I will say that the new Murai, the Toyota one, I saw at the LA Auto Show, looks way better than the previous one, which is kind of like a Prius. The new one looks kind of like a Lexus. So what I like about that is that those are electric vehicles with hydrogen batteries, basically. So theoretically and likely, at some point, Toyota's going to say, oh, crap, we need to build EVs. We can start with this Mirai that's like 80% done and pull out the hydrogen and put in batteries, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, if they want to do that, that's the one thing that's going to have to change.
And I can't remember if you mentioned it, but the tax credit on the charging stations was retroactive. So if you had bought a charging station in 2019, you got some money coming your way.
Yeah, and be aware of it when you do your taxes. All right, the BMW iX3. So that's one of the many new electric cars launching next year.
Always next year. And
yeah, but it's coming. It's coming. Like they are investing in producing it and everything. So the BMW iX3 2020 is getting its production spec. We already knew about the car since they unveiled it last year, but and we knew some of the specs. Now they've been updated a little bit for the production version, which we haven't seen just yet. But I think we're gonna see it soon if it's not like CES or Geneva or something like that, which is early next year. They're talking about a 74 kilowatt hour battery pack. That would enable a range of 273 miles or 440 kilometers, though that's, of course, on the WLTP cycle, which, I mean, I thought I knew how to convert from WLTP to EPA or closer to real-world range, but with the take-in that surprised us, that then even worse than that, I don't know anymore. I would have said, like, 210 to 20, but now it could be, like, he could be less than 200. Doubt it, but still. They also updated the motor spec. It got a little bit, tiny bit more powerful from 200 kilowatts to 210 kilowatts. So that's 286 horsepower. They confirmed the cells that they're going to use, and then it's going to be the NMC 811 chemistry, and it's going to be a long prismatic cell. So like those big rectangular cells. And they're claiming a lot less cobalt being used in those, and also very high gravimetric energy density in them. And of course, though, that car is supposed to go into production next year in China, but is supposed to be launched globally. So it's going to be a strategy not unlike Polestar, Volvo's Polestar, where they actually build their cars in China and try to export them globally. Not sure how it's going to work in the U.S. with the tariffs and regulations, but I mean, BMW knows how to make a car that's compliance with U.S. regulations, so it's not like I don't know how it's going to play out, because people have issues with China-built cars in the U.S., but it's still going to have a BMW badge on it, so is that going to be an issue, you think, with people?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, frankly, I think BMW carries a bigger mind share than where it's built. I mean, a lot of BMWs in the U.S. are built in, like, South Carolina. And you don't hear people like, oh, it's an American car. Like, it's still a German car.
Yeah.
So, I don't think China will be a factor too much. Unless the tariffs are, like, super high and whatever.
Yeah, that's for sure. But apparently they're making some progress on that, but all right, the car itself, I mean, the specs look good if, like, you can hold it closer to the WLTP. Like, if it fall off, like, below 200, forget about it. But if it's closer to 220 or something like that, it would be pretty good. However, I mean, from my understanding, that car will compete more with the Model Y. Like, it's going to be in that, like, sub compact SUV type of thing. Because the iX3 is, I think it's like an X3 size. I would assume. Yeah. Like the X3 is the smallest SUV that.
I mean, it's like a crossover ish.
Yeah. So I would assume it competes with the Model Y. Model Y has also a 75 kilowatt hour battery pack, like that car, like that SUV is going to have. And on that powertrain, the Model Y gets 300 miles of range EPA based on Tesla's own estimates. So that's a lot more. Because, so again, it shows Tesla's great efficiency lead still. Doesn't mean that they cannot sell those iX3s, because it all depends on the pricing, too. If they can get them cheap, people are going to buy those because the X3 is super popular car for BMW. So I would assume the an electric version would do well at the right price point. But they need to keep that thing over 200 miles for sure. They cannot pull like a Taycan and having a 280 WLTP and then a 200 miles EPA rating. I mean, of course, it's not a performance car too, like the Taycan is. It's like it's a rear wheel. It's gonna be rear wheel drive, I think so. And,
I don't know if they said, but it does have more. It's not like a Kia Niro, Chevy Bolt.
Yeah, more torque.
It's got way more power.
Yeah. And it's gonna have a BMW interior, right, and all the things that people like about BMW. It's gonna be there. Hopefully,
150 kilowatt charging is also a step above those other ones.
Yeah, I mean, for a 2020 car, you almost expect more of them, but depends again on with the price point. Like, if it's closer to a $40,000 car, then Model Y is not going to be a $40,000 car. Like, it's going to be closer to $45,000. It's going to start at, in my opinion. And that's going to be with the cheaper version. I think they're going to start with the long range, which is going to be closer to probably $50,000+. So if they can get that down, you're going to have a competitive offering in the market.
I agree. I'd want one.
Do you have any question in here? Or?
All right, let's start at the beginning. Here they come.
What are your thoughts about the estimated 110 range BMW has decided to give to the MS Mini through its battery choice? Why did not opt for the 40? We are stumped on this Sonic Liberation. So the BMW iX3 is going to be the first car with the new 5th-gen powertrain that BMW has developed for its electric vehicles. And it's all built around the like skateboard-like platform that most people have adopted yet, and it's enabled longer range and everything. For the Mini SE, they are sticking to the previous generation, which is the i3 generation. But for some reason, they couldn't manage to fit the same amount of batteries in there. It's not the format of the car doesn't allow that. I'm sure they could have designed something a little bit more performant. But I remember when the BMW invited me to visit their lab where they were building the 5th-gen technology that they were doing. Not just the 5th-gen, but all powertrains they were using. And we were walking around, and I'm like, I look at all their new battery packs that they're developing for 5th-gen, and I'm like, oh, it looks good. They look like those skateboards that are competitive with the Teslas and everything that came out. And then I stumble upon another battery pack and powertrain combined. I'm like, what is that? Why do you have that here? For what car is that? I'm like, I thought it was like looking too small, underpowered and weird. And they're like, that's for the new Mini, Mini Electric. I'm like, really? Why? This car is like coming out until another, like that was, what, a year and a half ago that was there? So like, none for another 2 years. Like, what?
So
can't do anything better? And they're like, no, that's what we're working on.
So answer Sonic Liberation's question, I think price is probably a big component.
But they did release the price, right? We did.
It's 30,000.
Yeah, so it's like a Nissan Leaf
type. Almost even less. I mean, it's just
the base,
right?
One.
So they released a very small battery and very small range because they wanted to hit a price point. I think. I don't know. It was a trade off. I guess they expect the Mini to be a city car, not to have too many miles on it. It does have fast charging, which isn't that fast. But you know, people around the Slack room seem to be excited about it, so maybe it'll do well.
Yeah, there's some big Mini fans that just want an electric option, but I don't know if that's enough to sway them without like some better specs.
So, Crazy John with an O. With a 0 and 7-0, it says Tesla is cutting it close with the final approval of the Chinese government. I still hope they will get it before year's end, and even if they only deliver one symbolic unit, what do you think?
I don't think that's enough, one symbolic unit. No. I mean, Tesla's goal is to deliver all cars in the inventory by the end of the year. And it looks like they have quite a few made in China cars now. We've seen that that big lot that they have at the Gigafactory 3. It looks like it holds about 400 cars in there in that lot. And we've seen it full and then full for like maybe 2 weeks. And they keep getting, they keep bringing trucks to take the cars away to presumably to delivery centers or other holding locations. So we have to assume that Tesla's produced at least over 1,000 of them at this point. Maybe closer to 2. I don't know.
And who knows what the holdup is? Hopefully, it's not political. Like, hopefully, there's no.
It's just paperwork. Needs to be filed and everything.
Jonathan says something nice about our podcast. He's a Bolt owner and looks forward to getting a Model 3. Nice. All right, some investment advice. And remember, we are not financial advisors. We are just...
Yeah, big disclosure. And we also are both long Tesla currently, so take that in mind.
So Johnny B is wondering if it's good to be long Tesla or should he sell on this uptick and buy later on?
Yeah, so he's basically asking, would it go down in the short term so that he can buy more of it?
I think we're all wondering that same question because this
every time there's a new high, for sure, that's the main question everyone has in mind.
If we knew the answer, we would be rich. And
yeah, exactly. Though, in my opinion, well, if you want to know what I'm doing, I'm holding on right now for until this quarter. We get the quarter's results because I feel like Tesla is going to get strong deliveries this quarter. Everything is looking good on that front. And might be still a profitable quarter too, which of course is always good. And then next year is starting to look very good too with the Model Y ramp up that looks to be quite early. So the Model Y is going to have a significant impact on Tesla's financial next year. So that's good. I mean, let's say that Tesla doesn't get the approval for Gigafactory 3 production this year, and it's going to happen next year. Like that, I would be very surprised if it's the delay is more than a few months now. So, and production already looks good, so Gigafactory 3 is going to ramp up a lot next year. And finally, just on a purely financial standpoint, Tesla is going to get hundreds of millions of dollars in European credit next year for from FCA for the emission credits. That's a lot of money. Like they're talking up to like 1.5 or 2 billion over 2 years. That's basically going to pay for Gigafactory 4 in Europe. So Tesla is really well positioned at this point, I think. So I'm not selling.
So Paul Barron says, was at a supercharger in Framingham, Massachusetts last night. A Model S backs into the charge. Parents swap seats. Little kids take over to play games with parents now in the back. I don't know why the parents weren't playing games. I think it's quite kind of fun.
you don't let the kid play. You're the only one playing. Yeah, I'm sure that's
maybe the parents were playing different games in the back. I don't know. All right, everybody looked happy. All right, good. Some game ideas: Carcassonne and Niroshima X would be great games.
Yeah, it's a ported from board games. I'm not very familiar with those games, but I thought they were board games.
X. Yeah, I know Carcassonne because we went to Carcassonne and then we bought the game there. You are a LaCroix boy, according to...
No. That's a iced tea. That's a
LaCroix. And I'm also a grapefruit, whatever. All right. Q4 deliveries, 100K. I'm going to say yay.
I'm gonna say probably yeah. It's looking good.
All right,
gonna have more on that in the next few weeks.
All right, that's me saying we're gonna do a Q&A. Pentagon place a big Cybertruck order. That would be huge. Yes, it would. I don't think it's gonna happen anytime soon.
No, it's not that car quite yet. I mean, I think it's a possibility, but like it's so political that. And to be fair, Elon does have some experience with government contracts and military contracts with the U.S., so it's not completely impossible that he would go after that. But I think the car would need to prove itself a little bit more, and then maybe in the future.
Yeah, they're going to need to work on those windows as well.
Yeah, that wasn't a good start if you were selling to the military and like, oh, we're bulletproof.
All right, somebody else is a fuel cell Hindenburg mobiles or bed. I don't know what that means, but I don't think he's a fuel cell fan.
Yeah, I think it's like with the explosions that were like in Norway or something. Yeah. Like there was explosions. It's like
everything explodes, though.
Not a good sign. Yeah.
It's not an overpriced, range limited POS like the Taycan is. Okay. That's a good point.
I'm not sure it's in reference.
I think we were talking about BMW at that point.
Yeah.
What is causing the recent stock price up? So this was pretty recent at the end of the show. And we kind of talked about it at the beginning of the show. You should go back and watch the beginning. But
yeah, I think it's just basically just a general stock rally in the market, and Tesla is really riding it with a lot of optimism on different front. Really, that's the general of it. It's not like any specific piece of news at this point that's driving the stock price.
And one last question from Blue Monkey 2. There's a Tesla charger in Dandong, China, which is a frisbee distance from North Korea. Do you think Tesla will officially enter North Korea? Trump did. I'm going to say no.
I don't think that's a big I've heard at least South Korea is looking good though. They started a few deliveries there, and I mean, South Korean market car wise it's extremely like patriotic, so they're like the protectionists, they keep their own, like they buy the Kias, they buy the Hyundai, they buy the whatever, or the premium version of those, like
they buy the Chevy Bolt, whatever, which is also an LG.
Yeah, which is basically a Korean car too. So Tesla was seen as having a hard time penetrating the market, but now they've been approved for all the government incentives and everything, and it's actually much cheaper right now. The Model 3 is pretty cheap in North Korea, South Korea. So we'll see how the market does. It's a big country, Korea.
Yeah, do you think Kim Il... Wait, what's his...
Kim Jong-il?
Kim Jong-il. You think he's going to get a Tesla? I mean, he's had Mercedes.
I'm sure he has a few. I mean, like, that guy's so rich, and I'm sure he can import them and everything. But speaking of Korea, Charles Jourdain is there for the UFC tomorrow morning. Good luck for that fight.
All right.
Representing Quebec and South Korea. All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. I'm going to catch you same place next time. Thanks a lot for subscribing. You can give us a thumbs up. It's always appreciated. Have a good one.